We're half the league we used to be. Kind of. We're about trimmed in half here for the playoffs in high school football here in Southern Nevada. This is Prep Sports Now. Looking forward to the start of the big league, the Division I playoffs, Division 1A, getting the second round underway this weekend. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer for Prep Sports Now. We're brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety, the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Keep your eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. We want to be on the road to keeping Nevada undead with the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Some big games coming up this weekend, Brewer. Finally playoff time. Looking forward to it.
Win in advance, lose, turn in your pads. We'll see you next year. It's a fun time. I will say the Sunset Region won't be so fun this week, where we've got Gorman, Arbor, Centennial, and Palo Verde, all four teams, Case. They've played in the semifinals, 5 years in a row? And there's no reason to think it won't be another year. All are heavily favored. We could set lines later, but the only team I think that may get a little bit of a pushback, well, I think two teams could get a little pushback. I think Cimarron might give Palo a little fight. And I think Legacy always comes ready to play, smacky in the mouth, hard-hitting, confident. They might give Centennial, who could have a hangover from the loss Friday to Arbor View.
What about Desert Oasis at Gorman? Don't see it?
Not this year.
Okay. Like you said, the same four teams every year. I don't think it's going to be any different this year. The one thing I will miss, though, to segue us into last week, it used to be Arborview and Centennial also met in the playoffs. And I just have to tell you, I think if you listen to the podcast, you already know that this is my favorite rivalry. But after being at the game last week, I think it's so far the best rivalry in Las Vegas right now. Arborview beat Centennial 21-16, but it was just unbelievable, the emotion in that game, how fired up all the players were to play, the student sections packed. These schools really don't like each other, and there's just so much things going on the side that just made it so much better. I know that's probably a lot of years gets played down and people don't want to talk about it, but guys, it was a lot of fun to be in that environment, and Arborview comes away with the victory. Proves us both wrong. We both had Centennial.
And they let us know about it.
A little bit.
Speaking of upsets or victories, the Centennial basketball team beat Gorman in the Halloween Hoops finals.
Really?
Gorman without Jeter, without Collins, without Neomaya. Still a good win for Centennial. Guess where they partied after the win?
Canes?
You got it.
I know,
so apparently the football team can't go to Canes. Basketball, they're in.
The football team was yelling a lot about the chicken after beating Centennial.
Were they?
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, I'm a fan of that chicken. I like the fries and the bread even more, though.
The sauce?
Sauce is sauce, but I like the fries, those little crispy.
Yeah, the fries are good. I think it's the sauce that makes it special at Canes, though. You know Arborview was chomping down on those after coming back to beat Centennial. They were down 14-10 at halftime. I don't have it in front of me, I want to say. And Charles Lausch comes up big in the second half and in the first half, too. He had some big plays. It just seemed like up front, Arborview kind of wore down Centennial. And what was probably the biggest game to the season at this point, Arborview comes away with the victory.
Yeah, and shout out to Arborview, undefeated regular season.
Second undefeated regular season, I think, in 3 years, maybe.
Yep. Number one seed in the playoffs. So if Gorman wins out and Arbor wins out, they would host Bishop Gorman at Arborview.
It would be at Arborview.
It would be this year at Arbor, yeah. So it'd be a hostile environment for the Gales.
Yeah. I don't see them having much of a chance to beat Gorman.
Come on!
But
I mean,
I was told to keep picking against Arborview because they win every time I pick against them, yeah. And that maybe they could beat Gorman if I picked against them.
Yeah.
They've got some big guys. They're good on the line.
They're not designed. To me, the only way to beat Gorman, and I'm sorry, you've played flag football before, right?
Flag football, yes.
Okay. You've played. To me, I would turn it into a passing league game 6-on-6. You put 5 wide receivers in the game, and I know Sanchez is going to tell me I'm crazy. So, Tony, I'm sorry, brother. Here's how I beat Gorman. five wide receivers, quick tailback, shotgun. I have my center in practice for 2 weeks practicing how to hike it to the quarterback. And the quarterback's got two rules. Number one, you throw to a different guy every play. Number two, if you hold the ball for more than 3 seconds, I'll put another guy in. And you turn it straight into street flag football. Get the lead, get lucky on defense, get to the line of scrimmage, either hike it to go fast or stay there and let clock run down for 30 seconds, throw it to a new guy every time, get five guys that could catch. I don't care if it's the goalie on the soccer team, the center on the basketball team, or the catcher on the girls' softball team. Get them in a helmet and spread them out. You got one guy on each sideline. Spread the field and sling it around. It's flag football. It's passing league. The quarterback, his uniform is going to be perfectly white after the game. No grass stains, no dirt, no nothing. 3 seconds, throw it. 4 seconds, throw it. If you hold on to it, I'll put the next guy in.
First of all, this is absolutely ridiculous because no one is ever going to beat Gorman no matter what they do. There's Try. A 0% chance.
You're not going to run through him.
But number two, why not? Why wouldn't – I think Arborview would say if we can get 3 or 4 yards every single play and wait the play clock go down to one, that's going to work better than slinging it to the sides.
They're not going
to
do that.
Why not?
You can't run through Gorman.
You can't throw through Gorman.
Are you
going to – They got a bunch of D1 kids in the secondary too.
You got a better chance if you spread the field.
Personally, I think neither of those work, but I think your scenario is just as ridiculous as thinking they can run for 4 yards every play and run down the clock.
Let us know.
I think they're both ridiculous.
Let us know, folks. Do you have a better chance to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust and try to run, go on some clock-consuming drives? I like the clock-consuming part of that. Or do you have a better chance to spread the field, try to get some one-on-one matchups? When you're running the ball, Case, you know where you're going.
Is this Gorman coaching staff idiots? As soon as they do that, they're not going to adjust and just have everyone on the outside if they're doing that every
you
play?
You could adjust all you want, baby. I got five chances to beat you. I'm not throwing the ball to the same kid every time. Look at Gorman. The Gorman's weaknesses this year.
None.
Bro, they got passed on by Centennial Corona, which I get it a lot better than a local team. What about 2 years ago when the kid from Santa Margarita went off for like 200 and some yards?
Another team that's not local.
I'm just telling you, but how did they do it? Did they do it by running a Toyota through a brick wall? You got to go around the wall, baby.
I would be very interested to see the stats on this game. I'm almost guaranteeing both those games, the teams did both things well.
Maybe they did. What I'm trying to say, Keith.
I'm not arguing for running it up. That's not going to work either, but I'm saying it's not. They're both equally as ridiculous and not going to work,
okay,
in my opinion.
And
Arborview, to me, you're far on the right side of we got to pass it, get 5 yards every time. Arborview would be far, far on the other side and try to run it every time. I don't think either of those are going to work.
But you've seen it. Exactly. My argument with Arborview is, God bless them, the first time they played Gorman, they were in the game for about a half. They had some runs that broke through. After that,
I think they were in the game like 5 minutes.
No, the first time they played.
Weren't they down like 28 to 7 at halftime or something?
Let me pull up the game story. Let me pull it up here.
I think that you give them way too much credit for – I mean, they played well. Credit's not the right word, but I think that we're acting like they were in the game for much longer than they were.
Either way, take a crack at the Gales. See what you could do.
This game was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Which game was this?
2010. The first year our review was good when they played Gorman in the first round.
Well, maybe it's 2000. Would they have just one good run? I think it was.
Yeah, they had one good possession. They got like two first downs. And then for the next year and a half on the podcast, you're talking about how Arborview brought it to Gorman.
Okay. All right. I'm wrong. Arborview brought it to Gorman on two plays.
Like I said, it's not happening. Crush everyone. But last week, you were the game against Palo. They didn't crush them enough because I had them minus 49.5, and they won 49-0.
Perfect. I'll take the $5. I'm up $5 exactly.
What stood out in this game for those of us that weren't around?
Well, a few things. First of all, Gorman had a little rust because they had a bye week. Martell fumbled on the second play. Palo got the ball on the 25, ended up having a punt. That's how far back they went. Next possession forced Gorman to punt. So Paolo was in it early, and then I think when Gorman wants, it could just run between the tackles and kill everybody. It's that simple. And then this was the first shutout of Paolo by Gorman, which I think meant a lot to Gorman.
Is anyone in the Sunset even going to score on Gorman?
I mean, they have.
Legacy, I mean, in the playoffs, I mean.
I don't know. I mean, Legacy had a lead on them, and they were going crazy like they won the Super Bowl.
I meant in the playoffs right now, if you had to, like, set their total.
Points given up.
Yeah, what, like.
See, here's the thing.
6.5.
If they're up by 60 and they throw in the fourth team linebacker and they give up a point, does that count on it?
I think it has to count.
Okay.
I still don't see them giving up more than a touchdown in the Sunset. Am I crazy?
We can make this a wager. Three games, how many points does Gorman give up?
Yeah.
I'll take the over.
I don't know if I should make this. Like you said, then now they get two, so the number's 6.5?
For what, points?
Or what were you making the number? I said 6.5.
I was thinking total playoff. Are you talking strictly in the region?
Well, I was just thinking Sunset off the top of my head, but we could make it something else if you want.
I was thinking the five playoff games, the three Sunset, the state semis against, we'll talk about that later, and the state game against whomever.
Okay, well, that obviously would be more than 6.5.
Okay, are you just talking?
I meant 6.5. I was thinking the Sunset.
You're just talking Dio, Arbor, Dio Centennial Arbor, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, or Dio Centennial Palo, if we have an upset. I think that's going to be one of those two.
Okay, and you're talking 6.5?
That's what I was thinking. I don't know if I would for sure bet on that, but I think that's probably the right number, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a team could get to 14.
Total.
I mean, total, yeah. There's no way you're going
to get to
14.
I wouldn't take 14. I'd have to take, like, I would take 12.5 and be comfortable.
I would take under 12.5.
And I would take over. And I would take over 12.
All right, we got it. There's a bet.
Yes, $5.
All right, I've got under 12.5.
I mean, we're talking four quarters. I mean, things happen.
It's interesting. It's a good bet. I could see it happening.
I mean, what's interesting, I think, is my run and shoot theory where the quarterback stays perfectly clean.
Hey, who knows? Maybe Centennial will try it. That kind of fits with Centennial's passing game with the
Leon, if you're listening, and if you do beat Gorman, and when the national media calls to do the interviews, can you give me credit for being your offensive coordinator? That's all I want. I game plan against Sanchez. Yes!
Centennial mixes in some rushes, but pretty much their offense is exactly what you were saying it is, just without the runs. Juan Rodriguez.
But you got to be committed to it. You just can't be committed to it now. It starts in the offseason. If I'm Leon Evans next year because he returns Rodriguez, I'm going to a passing league tournament or camp every week. We're going to be 20 passing leagues, and we're going to hike banana one, banana two, banana three. Phew, 5 yards, first down, everybody to the line.
That is so absurd. That has
Mississippi
no chance
one,
of
Mississippi
working.
Two. Phew, 4 yards, pick up the first down. Hike, quarterback draw up the middle, first down. Here we go again.
You know I'm the biggest pass game proponent in high school football ever. I think teams that can pass, I'm going to pick more times than not. But that just would not work. You'd have to have a coaching staff that is completely rigid and would not adjust to anything for your strategy to work. Meanwhile, Gorman has one of the best coaching staffs in the nation. They're just going to sit by and let that happen?
They're not going to sit by, but baby, once the Cadillac's moving forward, you don't know who's going to get the ball.
It's just insane.
All right.
I think you could keep it closer going with the other strategy of just running up the middle and running up the time.
You're not
winning either way, so keep it closer.
How many times have you watched Fast and the Furious? They've made, what, 8 of them?
I watched one. That was not my
thing. I haven't watched either of them. Neither am I. But what I'm saying is you make a movie, a Lethal Weapon. I've seen them all. You've seen them all, right?
I think so.
It's the same thing. Mel Gibbs and Danny Glover, they fight crime. They almost die. They survive. They enjoy a moment with their families. We'll see you in 2 years.
Well, at least you can run out the clock. If you're going to throw some incompletions in your offense and you're going to end up losing by more because you're stopping the clock. But Rodriguez against Arborview, I think what I was trying to say was it kind of is like this offense because they never really throw downfield. They throw close to the line. I think his first 8 passes are like 7 different receivers, so they have a lot of different guys. So if there's a team that can implement your crazy strategy that will never, ever in 100 years work, it would be Centennial.
And I would tell Ramondre Stevenson, hey, listen, bud, you might be the best junior running back in town. Well, probably behind Jonathan Shoemaker. Today you're going to get 0 carries. Congratulations, you're in the slot. Go get your receiver gloves on.
So if any coaching vacancies are this offseason, I hope athletic directors are listening, because please do not hire Brewer.
I think I'd win state, bro. You put me on with that strategy?
Oh, boy.
It's all organization. It's all organization.
And ridiculous strategies that wouldn't work.
Listen, it's a hope and a dream, right?
All right, well, I think that argument kind of illustrates what we have going on in the Sunset. It's pretty much a hopeless case. No one's beating Gorman. They're going to run through this thing. So let's get to the interesting region. The Sunrise, which was thrown for a real loop on Thursday
gigantic
night.
Loop. Not just a real loop. A gigantic, what happened, oh my God, get out your calculator loop.
The coaches and I, it was before the official standings provider of the NIAA actually released what was going on. We were trying to figure out the seedings. All the coaches kind of had something different. I wasn't sure what it was. I think we eventually figured it out. But Foothill beating Green Valley by 10 points.
Calling a timeout late to get a field goal to win by 10 points.
Right. Beats Green Valley. And the other game goes the way we expect. Coronado beats Las Vegas. Did they play Las Vegas?
Coronado beat up on Basic.
Basic, right.
Liberty beat Vegas.
I have the wrong high school football roundup up somehow.
It's okay.
So I'm looking at the score, and it says Coronado, Las Vegas. Coronado beats up Basic. So it went the way we thought. Three-way tie.
3-1, three times.
Coronado, Foothill, Green Valley. The seeding falls to Coronado 1. Foothill 2, Green Valley 3. So I think at the beginning of the year, the game we were talking about that we wanted to see that maybe would be for the Sunrise title, Green Valley and Liberty, now is going to happen this weekend. Green Valley the 3, Liberty the 2, because they also had a 3-1 three-way tie with Canyon and Vegas. Canyon, the number 1 over there, Liberty 2, Vegas 3. So Green Valley, Liberty, Friday. Can you even believe it's happening this early?
Last week at this time, we kind of predicted that would be the championship game in the region, correct?
I think all year that probably would have been our number one pick.
And now Albert Lake, Green Valley's a two-way standout, injured on the first play of the Foothill game, broken leg, done for the year, awful, heart goes out to the kid. And Green Valley gave up 50 points without him in the lineup to Foothill. And now we're with the predicament. The question is, Case, you played sports, I played sports. Without its best player, arguably, can Green Valley respond? Is there a mental problem that they'll have to overcome, a mental hurdle? I'm sorry, problem wasn't the right word.
I mean, it's really hard to say how a team's going to respond mentally. I mean, no one ever knows. A lot of times a team can rally around that and really even play better in stretches because they know they all have to be perfect without kind of the star of their team, which is what Albert Lake had been this year. But on the surface, I mean, it certainly looks like this is a huge blow. This is a team that already had suffered some injuries this year, including to their other back. They're supposed to pair with Lake and Larry Norman.
I know. Isn't that awful?
I mean, think about with both those guys. This game just looks totally different to what we would have thought it would be early in the season. I don't want to write Green Valley off because I think we've seen that that might be foolish and that, you know, they've proven us wrong before. But, God, this looks like a tough spot for them, having to play what we both still think is probably the best team in the region and having to do it without those guys.
Yeah, and I guess they still – I mean, Green Valley still has a quarterback that slings it around pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's now you've got to change how you run your offense, if you will, based on –
That is part of how Liberty lost, though. I mean, Canyon threw it pretty well in the game where they beat them 16-0. But I think this Liberty team's a different beast since then.
I mean, to me, Liberty is the leader in the clubhouse, the clear favorite to win the region. They've won 4 in a row. The freshman quarterback, Oblad, was great against Vegas. And I think what you don't realize, Case, is every time Liberty plays, it gets the best game of the other team. Is that accurate?
That is fair. And I will say that it looks like Oblad is on his way. We said it all year. He was going to be good by the end of the year and be better. But let's say they beat Green Valley. We'll get to our picks later. But just hypothetically, they beat Green Valley, go into the next game. Having a big game against Las Vegas, to me, is a lot different than having a big game against Coronado, who they're probably going to face in the second round, who has just somehow developed a shutdown defense that's been great. The first game, 14-13, Liberty only beat Coronado. I think Liberty's the favorite, but when you say clear favorite, I have to kind of sit back from that and not attach myself to that because I think Coronado is right there too.
I agree. I don't disagree. There's something with Coronado that's holding me back, and I don't know what it is.
Maybe I need something that's holding me back because I'm so high on this team right now. I can't, you know, that after they lost, basically what I said I wanted to see them do the rest of the year in this podcast, they've done exactly that. I mean, the defense has gotten even better, barely gives up a point, and the offense is running the way I think the offense is at its best point too. So I really like how Coronado's playing going into the playoffs.
I agree.
And like you point out here, they got 31 points in four league games.
It's impressive. That stat is just, I mean,
it's not like they're playing teams with bad offenses.
And especially since we live in Nevada, the land of everybody gives up 100 points a game, right?
Yeah. I mean, look at what the scores like Foothill and Green Valley put up against other people, including against each other.
Mm-hmm.
They got this kid.
Yeah, Foothill just scored 58 on Green Valley.
Yeah. Kainoa Granstrom, linebacker at Coronado. One of the best defensive players in town. Had like a million tackles in league play.
Who we've never mentioned, by the way, until 2 seconds ago.
Well, it comes from good sources.
Shout out to us for being on top of it.
This kid has been destroying it. So let's
put our handicapping hat on. Canyon Springs, I think, has got to be a heavy favorite in the Sunrise just because of the route they have. They open with Basic, and then they get the winner of Foothill Vegas.
God, I don't know that they're a heavy favorite. I just think they're going to beat Basic. I think we can agree on that, even though we're not to our picks yet. I think they win that, but I think the Las Vegas Foothill winner, whoever wins that, I don't think they're a heavy favorite in that game. Vegas has already beaten them. Foothill looks like they're peaking right now. I mean, look what they did. We've alluded to it a few times, 58-48. Their quarterback, Devin Mueller, I think had 6 touchdowns against, and I know the Green Valley defense has been up and down, but this Green Valley defense has had some really good games.
Yeah, but you take out a key part, Albert Lake, it's a whole different.
Come on, defense. You know one player is not worth 58 points. This is football. There's 11 guys on the field.
I know.
You take out Albert Lake and they're giving up 40 more points?
Could this Devin Mueller kid be my quarterback in my quest to beat Gorman?
I mean, I haven't seen him, but
he threw 6 touchdowns. That's all.
No,
I
think he might have ran for 3 and threw for 3, something
okay.
like that, or threw for 4, ran for 3.
Well, we don't need him to run.
So maybe not.
Is Foothill in contention all of a sudden to win this region?
I honestly think
in 7 days do we go from giving them a first round playoff exit? Because remember, I was high on Foothill after I saw him in the battle for Boulder Highway against Basic. Then they go to Coronado. I pick them. Coronado beats them down.
That's how good Coronado's playing right now. I think you can't underestimate that.
So Coronado's the team to beat?
No, I think Liberty is the favorite. But you said runaway favorite. I disagree with that. I think Liberty is the favorite. Coronado is very close behind. That first game could have gone either way. And then on the other side, I kind of disagree with you where you said Canyon's a heavy favorite. I think Canyon is a very slight favorite. And the Foothill and Vegas are both really close behind them. I will not be surprised at all if any of those three teams come out. And it's going to be Liberty or Coronado versus Foothill, Vegas, or Canyon. I know that's not exactly great analysis of paring it down, but
you've just pared down.
Well, no, you're telling me it's
eight
a heavy
total teams.
You're telling me it's a heavy favorite.
So you told me 5 teams could win?
Yeah, well, you're saying
Silverado's not winning.
That's way less ridiculous than No, I'm not saying who's winning. I'm just saying who's getting to the game. I think Liberty or Coronado is going to win that game. I think there's only going to be 2 winners.
So Green Valley
getting to the Sunrise Championship.
Green Valley if let me play what if. What if Lake was on Green Valley?
Well, they might not lose the Foothill game for one.
Well, they probably don't lose the Foothill game. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I like Foothill, but they probably don't lose that game. And then it's even more wide open. Because here's my problem: is I think And this is hard because I'm not like trying to slight any of these teams. I think Canyon and Vegas, if they play their best, are really, really good. But I still think the three best teams at full strength are Green Valley, Coronado, and Liberty. Not in that order. But they're all on the same side now.
Speaking of full strength, is Liberty kind of getting back to full strength? I noticed Calvin Tubbs.
Seems like it.
Is participating and being productive. I can't believe I forgot this kid's name. Is back. Tuilagi looks like he's playing and productive.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like they're in the place they want to be.
Okay, let me
I know. I know it sounded ridiculous when I mentioned five teams, but here's what I'm getting at is your words about being heavy favorite made it sound like it was Canyon Springs versus Liberty. Write it in right now. And I absolutely do not think that's the case. In fact, I think there's a better than a 50-50% chance that it's not Canyon Springs
good.
Versus Liberty.
I think we got a bet going. I will take how do we word this?
Well, if you think it's better than 50-50, we'll just go straight up. $5 wager, you say it's going to be Canyon Springs.
I'm giving
Liberty.
You money.
I say any other matchup.
Well, because you got live action then on Coronado. Canyon Springs.
And Foothill and Vegas.
No. Canyon Springs will be in the championship game. Let's bet on that. $5.
You said Liberty's a huge favorite, too.
They're a huge favorite, but I could see Coronado beating Liberty more than I could see. I don't see Vegas or Foothill beating Canyon. You got to remember, Canyon was gassed for that Vegas game. It was homecoming week. They were high off of beating Vegas. I mean, off of beating Liberty.
They didn't have Stevenson. I don't think it's fair. 50. I mean, part of the reason why I said it's better than 50-50 is not both. Now you're trying to pare it down an entire team, and you just get Canyon Springs.
Dude,
I agreed Canyon Springs is the
favorite.
You're
asking me to hit a two-teamer. Should I get 13-5?
I agreed Canyon Springs was the favorite.
To win the whole thing or just that side?
To win that side. But okay. I think it's not very – I don't think it's very – I don't think they're a runaway favorite.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk the Division 1A.
I think either of the two teams they play, it's less than a touchdown game.
Okay.
Do you want to give me whoever Canyon plays in the second round plus 6.5?
Done.
All right.
I got to start writing this down.
That took a second to get all those down. All right.
I think Canyon's going to roll.
I'm taking either of the teams that plays Canyon plus 6.5. And I'm taking Gorman to give up less than 12.5 points.
In the playoffs.
All right.
In the three playoff games.
Okay, now we can get to what might be the game of the week, like you said, in the Division 1A. Desert Pines at Faith Lutheran. We've wanted Desert Pines to get challenged all year. We thought they might get it against Shap. Not to be, because they destroyed Shap. Which makes you think they're even scarier going into this game against the defending state champions.
Here's the deal with Desert Pines. I'm 100% confused. I don't know if they're the team that has one loss or if that one loss is a product of being in a weak league. But I know this about Faith, Case. Faith is hot right now. I know Faith is big up front. And I know Benson de Rubalcaba could be the best pitching. Well, I'd take that back.
Rubalcaba, by the way. And I messed up my C's. I meant Cheyenne, not Chaparral.
Yeah, I know. And they had to rally. They had to hang on a little bit
to beat Cheyenne. They led the whole game, though, right?
They were, but Chi-Town was driving. They were like at the 20 to take the lead in the fourth quarter. And then
okay. Maybe they're not that good. Maybe they have no chance here.
But what I'm saying is that I think this is going to be a real good game. And you know who's playing real good for DP is that Trevor Nafoa kid.
And Isaiah Morris.
And, of course, our guy, Grayson.
Yeah, well, Grayson, actually, I guess in the last few weeks they haven't been throwing as much.
Well, you don't know. It's the playoffs, man.
No, I have all of the faith in the world in Grayson, but I just think I think Nafoa and Morris have been more of the stars in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, they haven't had to throw a ton. I think they will probably have to throw quite a bit against Faith Lutheran. Like you said, though, Rubalcaba is definitely the best receiver in the D1A. What?
How dare you say that?
What? Some Shap kid?
No. Who? R.J. Hubert.
I mean,
bro,
Let's look at the stats. It's not even going to be close. God. Every single time they need to play. I think that the Moapa guys are great, and I'm still picking Moapa to win the state.
God.
But let's check out some stats here. Rubalcaba, 59 catches for 934 yards. The first Moapa guy isn't even your guy. It's Cole Molcock, who has 43 catches for 920
yards. Called balance, Case. It's called balance.
I'm just saying, if there's an MVP among receivers in the D1A and you say it's not Rubalcaba, you're absolutely insane. And I know you love Moapa. I like Moapa too. Hubert, 33 catches for 594 yards, 9 touchdowns. So your guy that you're saying has had a better year than Rubalcaba has 26 less catches, 330 less yards, and 3 less touchdowns.
I'm also saying Moapa Valley is running clock people. He does not get in as many reps. Faith Lutheran was fighting for its life to get in the playoffs. They got to throw him the rock every time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My guy's got – well, not that this counts.
That's a good point if it wasn't 26 receptions. 26!
How many games did they play in
Faith league? Over there, they think you dislike them, and
no,
you're just proving their point.
They don't think I dislike
them. They're like, oh.
But trust me, they love – I love them.
I had
they
more than one person say – Brewers way too high on Moapa Valley.
Well, I just picked. They were 0-2 in league. They lost to Clark and Cheyenne, and they were a Hail Mary away from losing to Mojave. They wouldn't have been in the playoffs. High on Moapa Valley, undefeated back to back years, a Division I quarterback, the best receiver duo in
Hubert.
Hey,
no, I don't disagree with you. Moapa is the team to beat, but the best receiver in town this year, you just slighted. Saying Rubalcaba's not even the best in the Division 1A is the biggest joke I think you could have said. He's leading in every single category.
Okay.
There's not a category the kid's not leading in. What more do you want him to do? Do you want him to take the snap and throw to himself?
Well, that's what he's got to do to beat Gorman. That's a good idea.
All right.
He should have been our player of the week. That would have been a good choice.
I threw him out there a couple times.
Well, a little too late now.
You just hate Faith Lutheran.
Apparently,
just like last year when you picked him not to make the playoffs.
Apparently, yeah. Since I've been over there like 100 times in the last It's fine. I hate everybody. I bet you if you ask all 36 schools if Brewer likes him, 34 are going to say no. He's a Gorman homer, and Moapa Valley's going to say, you know what, he's fair. Is that safe to say?
Fair enough. Okay. And I think Faith Lutheran will have some fuel now that Rubalcaba, just an average guy, just another guy out there.
No.
Not even the best receiver. I mean, the guy catches 30 more passes than anyone else, but...
I know. Do the math, though, Case. 7 league games where my guy played a half with a backup quarterback, and he's returning a kickoff a game per a touchdown, and he's playing both ways and getting interceptions.
All right.
Just saying. Anyways, who do you like in the DP Faith game? Not that we're getting to the picks, but.
Well, then how can I not say who I like? The thing that I think DP that concerns me with DP is – and I've talked about this every week, but Faith Lutheran's line is really, really good.
I know.
And I think that DP, who I haven't seen, but they're going to have to play perfectly up front to pull off the upset, which I do think it would be an upset. Faith Lutheran, the defending state champions, the one seed, playing at home. I think Faith is the favorite in this game. I think it's going to be close because I think DP, in whole, I think they have – more weapons than Faith Lutheran. I think Faith Lutheran has the kid who's been the best player on the field this year, Rubalcaba, but apparently I'm crazy. Just leading receiver in the city, not that good because he's been in close games. Those are kind of the main points. And defensively, I think honestly, I think both these teams are going to score. I think it's going to be a little bit high scoring. Not that either team is bad defensively, but I just think the offenses are better. Where did I go wrong there?
I have no idea how to cut this game up. You got Desert Pines who definitely isn't as good as Faith on the lines, right?
That's what I said. I thought Faith would have an advantage on the lines.
Okay.
I think Desert Pines probably has a few more playmakers.
Possibly, but they
don't think so.
Well, they're younger. They haven't been in big games, and maybe I got to change my pick. I think I just talked myself out of it, but it is what it is. It's going to be the game of the week, without a doubt.
Yeah, it should be.
I mean, plus Faith won state last year. It has the experience, and I know you hate this, but it has the experience of doing good things in the fall.
I mean, really the only guys that I think are playing that big of a role from the state championship team last year are the linemen and Rubalcaba. The rest of the guys... That's why they even get kind of frustrated when we keep saying they're like the defending state champions, because a lot of kids that are playing roles for them didn't even really get the experience that you're now referencing. They really are a pretty different team.
I agree.
So I don't know. I don't think the experience really makes that. I mean, here's the thing where experience could come through is the coaching staff's a little bit more familiar with the whole playoffs. Sure. And I know, I mean, they were brand new last year.
Remember last year, DP and DP had a lot of, I mean, they had like three D1 kids last year, but they went over to Faith and the game was back and forth and Faith won at the end.
Yeah, in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, to make it to the state semis, which I had also picked DP that game.
48-41 in that game.
Slugfest.
Yeah, really back and forth. DP was up 21-7 or 20-7, something like that. Just don't think that they've forgotten about letting that lead get away. One thing went after the other. I think they're going to be fired up for this game. I don't think motivation is going to be a problem on either side. Like you said, that's going to be a good one. The other one, like, we'll get to our picks right after this, but the other game in the D1A is Sierra Vista and Moapa Valley. What do you think of the keys here?
I think Sierra Vista, it's just going quarter by quarter. They've got two great players in Peterson and Brody. Obviously, it's tough to go to Moapa Valley in November and win. And if Sierra Vista starts strong, can control the clock and maybe get a break, they have a chance. Great first season in the new league. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't have it in front of me. This team, maybe, has they ever won a playoff game?
Yeah, I think, well, they beat Gorman one year
in
06, so I would assume they're...
Well, they've won, like, this, I mean, they may have doubled their playoff wins just by beating Chaparral. I actually got it right. Chaparral, not Cheyenne. 30-7. That was impressive because Chaparral, I mean, we had talked about how they've been better.
I jinxed them. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you picked them even. I mean, 30...
Yeah, that's my fault.
No, either way, I don't care if you say jinx, whatever. 30-7 is pretty impressive, no?
Oh, yeah, it's real impressive.
So... they're coming into this game where you would want them to be the one kid, Javion Hunt, had three interceptions. That's pretty ridiculous against Shap.
Shap has the keen ability to throw the ball up and hope it lands somewhere that it usually doesn't. So
I'm just saying, I think and maybe I'm overreacting to one game, but seeing that this is still in Sierra Vista beating a team that badly is – I'm not – I might have picked Moapa Valley just running away last week. Right now, I think Sierra Vista can hang with them. I think they got the talent, and I'm interested in seeing how this game plays out.
It's going to be a fun one.
Let's not forget, we're both picking Moapa. We've been heavy on that all year. We think they're the team to beat in the D1A, but they've had some playoff letdowns, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, especially when Truckee's involved.
Well, I know. It hasn't been locally, but that's just something to keep in the back of your head.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, not to add insult to injury, but I just don't see Sierra Vista going to Moapa, I'm sorry, and winning the game.
What about playing well?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're not going to running clock them.
Okay, well...
I mean, it's not like Moapa's got Rubalcaba. Did I deliver that? No, I'm sorry.
You said his name better than normally. What do you normally call it? Like Rabalakubo or something?
You know me. I'm not. I'm a mess on the names. I apologize on the names.
All right, let's go to the picks.
Let's eat.
Back to the Sunrise, the first game listed. Green Valley and Liberty. I think game of the week in the upper division. I think Liberty is going to take care of business here. I think it's really unfortunate what's happened with Green Valley because they had... I really thought this was going to be a better year for them, but they've had some things go against them that aren't all their fault. I think it ends here. They don't get a playoff win. Liberty by a couple scores at least.
I think Liberty wins, and I agree with everything you said. A shame that it's worked out this way. Brennan Adams, now the running back for Green Valley, he played for Liberty, so Liberty's going to be fired up to defend him. I actually think because it's playoff football, it's going to be a little closer than you think. I think Liberty wins, but just by about 12 to 13 points.
All right, so we're about on the same page with that one. Silverado at Coronado.
Coronado.
I love Coronado. I can't wait for Coronado and Liberty next week if our picks are correct.
If our picks are correct. I mean, crazier things that have happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw something pretty crazy last week with Foothill, which brings us into the next game, Las Vegas at Foothill. To me, I think that this is the closest game of the Division I playoffs. I think this is going to be less than a touchdown either way, and I'm kind of torn on who to pick.
I'm not torn on who to pick. I think the best team is Las Vegas. I think they're going to run the ball, and they're going to win the game. I think Foothill kind of overachieved a little bit. They got a good... They got a good break to beat Green Valley, and I think their season ends here. Credit to them for getting the number two seed, for figuring out. But I just don't think Vegas' season's going to end. And I know that, you know, they've also had some injuries that's affected them, but they were up 17-0.
Against Liberty, yeah.
Against Liberty, and then the wheels fell off on a screen pass, basically. And next thing you know, they're packing the bus up to go to Henderson.
It wasn't the regular season, but this is the third straight year these two teams have met, and Vegas has handled Foothill pretty handily each of the last 2 years. I think both times I picked Foothill, both times they lost, but I don't learn from my mistakes. I'm going with the home team. I'm taking Foothill in what I think is a really close game. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched, and I mean, it seems like we mostly agree. You only have Vegas winning by five. I think Foothill wins just by a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. You know, maybe I haven't adapted with the times, and I still picture Vegas being a power, but I just think they get
I don't think you're crazy at all for picking Vegas here. Just like we said earlier, I love the high school teams that can throw the ball, and I know Vegas can at some point, so it's really difficult to pick against them. But every time I've seen Vegas, they just labor and struggle to throw. And right now, after what we've seen, I think I'm a little bit more confident in Foothill's ability to pick up yards through the air with Mueller being the dual threat guy. And I like their receiving core with Aiden Bartolowicz, who I've been high on all year. And then you sold me on the other kid, who I think is a running back. But
yeah,
they can throw it to him.
But here's
Bobby Merritt.
Yeah, here's the deal. If Vegas does beat Foothill, you like Vegas against Canyon.
I would pick Canyon straight up right now against either of those teams, but I think it's a really, really close game inside a touchdown. So
okay.
I was happy to take the plus 6.5.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure who I'm going to pick. I want to see how this week
because
goes.
Because if Foothill beats Vegas, I think Canyon crushes Foothill with the capital C for
crush.
Maybe
I made a bad bet.
Maybe I should be rooting for Foothill.
Yeah, apparently. Okay. But you picked Vegas. I'm picking Foothill. Next game, basic at Canyon Springs.
Canyon Springs.
Yeah, but I think we agree. You said closer than you think, and I wouldn't be surprised if Canyon got a little bit more of a challenge than they imagined from basic.
Yeah, and this goes back to the they've played in the playoffs, I think, maybe three times in the last 4 or 5 years. And there was the 1 year where Canyon was a higher seed, and basic went in there, I think Boyd's sophomore year, maybe, or junior year,
and
beat him and kind of surprised him a little bit. I think that Canyon had underestimated Basic. I'm sure that will be on the top of everybody's mind.
37-15 that year in 2012,
which was an upset.
So that was actually Boyd's senior year, I think.
No. He graduated in 13, so his junior year, right?
He played last year.
Oh no, you're right.
I think it was his senior year.
Go back to his junior year, maybe.
Okay, yeah, it was his junior. Oh, 37-15 was how bad Canyon beat them his senior year. My bad. 42-21. Still, that's just as crazy. I think it'll be close, but Canyon Springs, Sun Standout Player of the Week, Bradley Alexander, right?
Yes, congratulations. 3 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground, also plays DB. Having a great year for the Pioneers of Canyon Springs.
And I've said it week after week, I like his receiving options. So I think Basic keeps it close. Canyon pulls away at the end. Desert Oasis at Gorman. Gorman can name their score.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy playoff things, I was looking at the volleyball pairings today. I got to pull this up real fast because I want to be accurate. Just talk. Is there another game out there we can talk about?
The next game is Legacy at Centennial, which you think might have the makings of a close game. I don't see it. Centennial beat up Legacy the one time they played this season. Like I said, I was at the Centennial Arborview game. Arborview won, but it wasn't like they won going away. Centennial held tough, did some good things both on offense and defense. I really like their front still. Arborview in the first half could not run up the middle at all. They kind of wore down Centennial after that. Centennial also has some good linebackers. The kid, Tyshawn Barnaby, something like that, in the first half was like maybe the reason Centennial was up. The kid was making every tackle. So I like Centennial's defense. I think that there'll be enough resistance against Legacy to put this one away early. But hopefully they can get over that loss because that was a big loss. And I know that
the Arborview hangover is going to get them.
Yeah, not the easiest to just get over that when all year this has been a game they've been thinking about and they fell apart. So
we'll see. I still think they cruise rather convincingly. after they get over the hurdle. I just think legacy, and they've shot themselves in the foot this year with turnovers, and it's going to be tough to overcome.
Right. Do you have the volleyball pairings, or is it next game?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Listen to this. This is crazy. Okay, in volleyball, Desert Oasis has one win in the league play, and they're in the playoffs. Legacy, one win in the league play, they're in the playoffs. Okay, and it gets even better. Hold on here. Give me one second. I apologize. I know people at home are like, what are you doing, Brewer?
Yeah, since so many people want to hear about volleyball.
No. This is – I got to show you this. Okay, in the Sunrise, Coronado plays Valley. Coronado's like nationally ranked.
Oh.
Valley's won 3 games this year.
Not good.
Yeah.
So Coronado, the official Prep Sports Now pick to win the volleyball state championship?
I mean, I don't know. Oblad's sister's a senior on that team. She's like an Olympian.
Is Gorman any good at volleyball?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I'm picking.
In fact, Gorman struggles at a lot of the Olympic sports, and they struggle to get games as well. Conversation for another day.
I'm picking Coronado in volleyball.
Okay. Okay.
You can have the field. Shadow Ridge at Arborview in football.
I'm going to go Arborview.
Yeah, really. I know they're
– the thing how many people reached out to us and were like, yeah, in your face, we proved you wrong.
Hey, you weren't even there. It was a lot worse when you were there.
I'm glad. I put you at the I put you as the most courageous man on staff.
Shout out to Tyrese Smith, who had a huge game against Centennial and then was among the Arborview people tweeting at us, although I don't think he was tweeting at us talking trash. But he was huge on defense, and a guy that necessarily hadn't heard his name a lot earlier this year. Only a junior, maybe? Senior. But anyway, Tyrese Smith, I would watch out for him if I was Shadow Ridge. Former Sun Standout Player of the Week, Dominic Wilson.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Arborview, we're in agreement. Cimarron at Palo Verde. Why do you think Cimarron's going to keep it close?
Because Parcells told me he's got a chance.
All right.
Does that not count?
That counts.
Okay.
I still think I think Palo Verde's got this game. I mean, did they shut him out earlier this year?
Shut him out the first time, and it's just this is a different Cimarron team. They've figured out the passing game a little bit, and I think they think they're going to keep it close. I mean, somewhere the fact that we're in the playoffs, it should get tightened a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe necessarily they don't win by 34 again, 34-0 first game, but I think they win by more than 10. You got 28-18.
Okay.
I want to see that Palo Arborview round two game. I never ever pick a single big Arborview game right. So everyone at Arborview is just like, you never pick us. Well, I do pick you, and when I pick you in big games, you lose. When I pick against you, you win. Last year, I was driving the Arborview train against Palo Verde, and Palo Verde smacked them up pretty good. So whoever I pick in this hypothetical Palo Verde Arborview game next week, the other team's gonna win. I'm kind of resigned to that fact.
Yeah, and I know who I'll pick.
I know who I'll pick, too, and I think it's going to be the same, which means go bet on the Panthers.
AV if you banging. Right. Whatever that means.
Desert Pines at Faith Lutheran from the D1A South semifinals. Is that accurate to call it that?
I guess.
Okay.
The winner advances to Reno to play some team up there who Lake Tahoe Gal give us his scouting report on next week.
The winner of DP at Faith?
Yep.
So Sierra and Moapa stay here?
Well, if Moapa wins, it stays here. If Sierra wins, it would get
okay.
The trip.
Right, right, because they're the two. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's pick these games. Desert Pines at Faith Lutheran. Great game last year. I think it's going to be a great game again.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my initial instinct. I thought that Desert Pines was going to beat them this morning, and even though I talked myself out of it, I still think they're going to win.
After I looked back at last year's game, I'm like kind of just the opposite. I went into the podcast thinking I'm picking Faith Lutheran for sure. Now I'm almost convinced myself that DP is going to pull off the upset. I really don't know about this one. I think I'm going to go Faith Lutheran just ever so slightly. This is such a close. This is such a good game. I can't wait to see what happens. I'm going to go Faith. But don't have much faith in my pick.
Yeah. I mean, I would try to go to the game, but who knows? I might not make it out of the Faith Lutheran parking lot alive.
I'm not saying people hate you over there. They just think you're not high enough on them. And yeah. I think that you probably proved them correct by rolling your eyes when I brought up Ruben Acaba's name.
No, he's been great all year. He caught the Hail Mary.
All right. Well, he holds the lead in every single receiving category. So
he's had a great year. I'm not taking that away from the kid.
Yeah, I really think that kid's awesome. And Benson's been great at getting the ball to him as well. Sierra Vista at Moapa Valley. I think it's a close game. I think Sierra Vista hangs tight, but we know that it's not easy to win at Overton. I'm saying Moapa Valley in a close game.
I agree. I just think that Sierra's had a great year from going from the big league struggling to the lower league to thriving. No matter what they've done, they can't prepare for small town playoff football. Gets a little colder in Overton because it's closer to Utah, and I think the Pirates roll.
Is there any chance, I'm saying no, even though I know nothing about the Northern teams, is there any chance we have an all-Southern final? The winners
of
these two
games. I would love to see Faith Moapa Valley.
Yeah, but I mean, is that practical at all? Or one of these teams lose?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to go up to...
That's what I figured.
Yeah, even though Faith went up there in one state last year.
Correct. So is the state game down here?
It is.
Okay, but the big schools are in Reno, right? No.
The big schools are in Reno.
Okay.
So it means I get to spend a freaking day in Reno.
I know you can't wait for that.
I love Reno. One of the quiet, quaint towns in the West. Armpit of Nevada.
All right. Well, we got 20 local teams left now. We're going to have 10 next week. We'll still be here to talk about it. So make sure you come back. Thanks a lot for listening. For Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer, Prep Sports Now. See you next week.